This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our look at education now as a part of our series, First Wisconsinites, Dispatches from Native American Life in Wisconsin Today.
Now, Brooke Emin is with us to talk about the Wadukadatting Ojibwe Language Institute in Hayward, Wisconsin. She's the executive director, and she's Ojibwe. Brooke, welcome to Central Time. The Wadukadatting School is a language school, Brooke, and a language immersion school. But what else do you do there at the Institute?
In 2015, the Wadukadatting Board and staff spent time identifying work that we have been doing and we're doing that supported the school and language development. And we identified that in our effort to teach and speak Ojibwe, we're also doing immersion curriculum, immersion teacher development, contributing to the research and development of best practices for language revitalization, and also doing outreach for language revitalization in our Ojibwe-speaking communities, but also for other indigenous groups. So that was when we redefined our work and created the broader institute model, and that it does continue to include our school in our classrooms.
As I understand it, you're part of an international effort, so you're not just working on the Ojibwe language there. You're working with people all over the world to help restore and revitalize indigenous languages. Can you talk about this huge effort that you're part of?
Yeah, so what we've learned in our work is we've had to reach out and look at models, some of the first models that our founders looked at. We're in New Zealand, in the Welsh language, Gaelic. Like, there's many models in the world of kind of less commonly taught or spoken languages. And we looked at different efforts that were happening. And that also brought us to our relationship with the Native Hawaiian group within the United States as well. So we really looked all over the place for the best ways to revitalize and teach indigenous languages.
And you're part of the National Coalition of Native American Language Schools and Programs. What role do you play in that coalition?
The Coalition is a group of schools and programs. I think we're in 16 states in the United States, and we use an indigenous language as the language of instruction for education. The group is a group that shares knowledge, resources. At times, we also will review any upcoming federal policies to see if they align with the Native American Languages Act of 1990. And that was, it's a law that protects the right to use our native languages in educational settings. So we are part, Wadukadatting is part of this coalition, and we really are a group that we share with each other when we need support, not just in any of the policy fields, but also in planning and sharing best practices that we have all developed over time with our programs.
I want to look a little bit at the history here. Ojibwe and other Native and Indigenous languages, they didn't just decline naturally. It seems like there was, as I understand it, a very conscious policy effort in the United States and elsewhere for that matter to force people to stop speaking indigenous languages. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think it really is important to remember that speaking Ojibwe or practicing our culture was outlawed in the not-so-distant past. I was born in the 70s, and, there's no freedom. The freedom of religion for Native American was at the end of the 70s, so even when I was born, some of those things were legally prohibited. And I think a lot of what we deal with today is people suffering from shame from some of the trauma inflicted within families and our communities by those efforts. And we know it's one of the reasons American Indian students still struggle with this kind of mainstream English-only focus in our education. So our efforts, you know, normalizing Ojibwe language in education, it's part of our effort really to empower, engage students, families, those who have been disenfranchised by the mainstream American education system.
And as I understand it, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where somebody growing up would be actively punished for speaking Ojibwe, say, in an English language school.
Yes, that's my mother had that experience. So her generation, you know, and that was one reason she didn't speak to me until I actively sought her out as an adult and asked her to help me.
We're talking about the Waduka Dutting Ojibwe Language Institute in Hayward, Wisconsin. With us, Brooke Amon, Executive Director of the Institute. So what goes into now teaching children Ojibwe in a way that they're not, that they can use it in their daily lives?
Well, a lot of it is really using it, role modeling. So we have a lot of adults. We have, you know, our staff at Waduka Dutting, we're all American Indian Ojibwes. We're role modeling for our children, so they see us speaking to each other, and it elevates its status. But at the same time, we have innovative adults that are working on making sure it stays alive, which means coming up with new words, coming up, you know, adapting to life, our current lives. So we have to have words for things that maybe they didn't have words for in the past. And not only that, but working with elders who are willing to help us revitalize, to talk about how we would even frame some of those concepts. And even in that process, we learn a lot about worldviews and our language and how the language works as well.
I think about someone like your grandmother who was punished for speaking Ojibwe as a kid. What is it like for the elders to see children speaking the language again?
Well, I would say it's probably a mixture of being really happy and excited, but I think there's still some fear there. Even, you know, my mother, who wasn't allowed to speak at school when I first, because I'm also a parent of students in the school program, she was concerned about whether or not they would have the English skills. You know, I went to college and graduate school and everything, and she wants that for them. So she was initially a little concerned that, you know, are they going to be able to speak English also? So I think there's a mixture, but when they speak to her, she's very happy and excited, and she speaks right back to them naturally. She doesn't speak English when they talk to her in Ojibwe. So I think it's a healing process, and we have to deal with, you know, both the good and the bad that comes with healing.
And I understand that you're teaching children the language along with a culture at the same time. And there was an important part of it. Was it, I'm sorry, the maple sugar has a big role to play in it?
Yes, I think one of the parts of working with language revitalization is it goes hand in hand with cultural revitalization. And one of our big focus that we have is reconnecting with our land and also with our food gathering. And so one of our thing, you know, an activity we teach the children and we participate in as a community is gathering food. Like this week, the 6th and 7th graders will finish the wild rice they gathered. In the past couple weeks, the whole school was involved in processing rice that the middle schoolers gathered from one of the lakes. And we really want our students to understand our food systems as well. There's so much science and math embedded within those processes that it's important to include that as part of our education.
And Brooke, as we wrap up, what are your hopes for the future of Waduka Dotting?
I think our biggest hopes are that we have more students, more people, more families adopting increased Ojibwe usage, people learning that we can be successfully bilingual by whatever measure we choose to gauge that success. But I think there's also kind of an untapped market for careers and products that are inclusive of the Ojibwe language that can meet the needs of our language revitalization and normalization work. So I am excited to see if we do have some of those efforts, like more media, you know, TV and radio programming, print productions in our language. That's what I think we hope to see as our students grow up, that they include the language in their lives.
Brooke, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That was Brooke Emin, Executive Director of the Waduka Dotting Ojibwe Language Institute.